I think the important thing for me is never ever forget where you came from. You know, I worked my way up. I didn't just fly in from above in anything. Do you know what I mean? I worked my way up. I have worked as a stewardess on the ship. I have done all these things. And I never ever, you know, if you appreciate every single job that is it within your thing.
Yeah.
So if I walk around and I see the guys wash the floor, I'm always saying, guys, that's excellent job. What would the ship do without you? Ask them about their families, you know, say, how's your family? How's everybody at home all right? Are you feeling okay? All these things. It's about coming to a personal level with each and every person, because that, for me, is the ultimate thing to do it, because I create a connection with them, showing that I trust them and I appreciate them. And when you do that, whatever you send out to the universe, you get back.
Welcome, 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 welcome back to another episode of You Are You Unapologetically, the podcast where we celebrate your journey and remind you to show up in life, show up in your leadership and your calling fully, authentically, and unapologetically. That's it. That's who we are. So today's episode is called How to Lead, Decide, and Win as a Woman When the World Doubts You. That's it. That's our title. And let me ask you something. Have you ever walked into a room and felt like you had to prove yourself before you even spoke? Like you had the skill. Heck, you are the skill, right? Like you have the experience, the knowledge, but somehow you still had to convince people you belong there. You get me? Okay. If you're a woman in leadership or stepping into leadership, you probably know exactly what I mean. You know what I'm talking about. You were there. I know you get me. Yes, because leadership doesn't just come with responsibilities. Not at all. Not at all. It comes with scrutiny. You're questioned more. You're second guessed more. You're watched more closely. And sometimes underestimated before you even begin. And that's pressure. It can make you hesitate. It can make you shrink. It can make you doubt yourself. Yes. But here's the truth. Leadership isn't about titles. No, not at all. And don't get it twisted when I say leadership is about clarity. It's about courage. It's about conviction. And it's about trusting yourself when the stakes are high, even when the room isn't convinced yet. So today, we're talking about how to rise anyway, in spite of the naysayers. How to lead boldly and courageously. How to make confident decisions and own them, even when the decision is not popular. And how to win, even when doubt is louder than your support. This conversation matters because so many capable women, so many are holding themselves back. Not because they lack ability, not at all, but because they don't see themselves represented. They don't see women who look like them at the top. So they question themselves. They doubt their abilities. They wait for permission. They downplay their voice. But leadership isn't reserved for a certain personality, no, or a certain background, nor is it reserved for title. Not at all. Leadership, it's built through resilience. No ifs, ands, buts about it. Through experience, through self-trust, and sometimes the very doubt you feel is proof you are stepping into something bigger. It's proof you belong in that position. Yes. So today we are normalizing the struggle. Yep. That's why we're here. And we're reminding you, you, all you women, that doubt doesn't mean you're unqualified. No, that's not what it means. I said it before and I will say it again. Doubt me. You are growing. It means you are being being stretched out of your comfort zone or pushed out of your comfort zone. Yes. So today, our guest is the epitome of leadership, courage, boldness, openness, and compassion. And I can't wait. I can't wait for you to meet her. And you guys know, I always find phenomenal guests. And I didn't miss a beat on this one either. Our guest is so phenomenal. I just can't wait. But first, let me do this. I have to tell you all about her first. I have to. See, our guest today was born and grew up in the rugged, rocky, windswept Faroe Islands and moved to Denmark in 1989. While still at school, she took work as a stewardess on a cargo ship during the holidays to earn some money. This quickly revealed a deep-set loathing of cleaning, which strongly suggests it was not her vocation. With no particular career in mind and expecting to eventually settle down as a wife and mother, our guest joined DFDS Scandinavian Seaways as a cadet at the age of 16. Yes, she worked her way up through the ranks, achieving her master's license in 1994 and spent the years between 1994 and 1997 on ferries, ro-ro ships, and a dredger. Feeling it was time for a change, our guest applied to move to the cruise industry and was delighted to be accepted by Cunard, starting on Vista Fjord, and then traveling the world with Seabourn, Princess, and P&O Cruise Lines up to 2009. After working with P&O for a period and having successfully overseen build of Azora, our guest was thrilled to be asked to return to Cunard and join Queen Victoria in August 2010. She said that coming back to Cunard is like coming home. One of her main goals, apart from guests and crew welfare, is focusing on making sure each ship she is on operates as green as possible, using water-saving measures and recycling. Our guest now lives in Svendborg, hope I said that right, Denmark, where she very much enjoys spending leisurely days in her lovely house and garden. Any spare time, she likes to play the saxophone, go to concerts, and make the most of her husband, family, and friends. In particular, loving her role as auntie six times over to two of her brother's children and spending time with her four grandchildren. Please, please, please help me to welcome Captain Inger Klein Thorhagen to You Are You Unapologetically Podcast. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. Oh my goodness. We are so glad that you're here. Please go ahead and mute yourself because we got some talking to do for sure. Okay, so what I normally ask our guests to share how we met. But because of how we met, I'm just still so excited about it. I just have to share and set the story up. Okay, listeners, it was in December. I was on a cruise, Queen Anne, and I was sailing. And I was told, like, I was with my husband because you guys know we're always sailing, we're always cruising. And I was told that there was a woman captain at the helm of the ship. So, of course, I was excited. All right. Fast forward, a couple of days went by and I said to myself, I'm going to meet her. But I didn't know when, I didn't know how. So with that being said, oh my goodness, I found myself eating their delicious custard ice cream in the buffet. And I looked over and I saw Captain Inger's back. I saw her, but let me say this. I saw her early in the cruise. She was getting on the ship because at one of the ports, and I think it was in Rotterdam. But she was so far ahead that I couldn't catch up, but that's okay. So I'm in the buffet. She's standing, her back to me, and she's greeting guests. And so I walked up behind her her not knowing that I was behind her. But as soon as the guest, she was finished with the guest, she turned around and guess who she saw? Me. I was like, hello, I am so happy to see you. Oh, so happy. So happy. Oh my gosh, my excitement just probably overwhelmed her. I'm quite sure. But anyway, I did not have my phone with me, you guys. I didn't. So I'm talking with her. I'm telling her how it was an honor to meet her and to be there in front of her. And she was, you know, dressed in uniform, just looking so professional, just like a woman leader should be, right? And so when I told her that I wanted to take a picture, and I was by myself because my family, Lionel and his sister, weren't there. So when I told her that, she said to me, she said, that's okay. All you have to do is go to the purser's desk. And when you're there, you tell them that you saw me and you didn't have your phone and you wanted to take pictures. And they will arrange a time for me to come and take pictures with you. Now, look, I just want y'all to know, she doesn't know this, but I ran to my room. I put on lipstick as if I was going to meet her that day. And so what happened was I took a beeline straight to the purser's office and I told them what they said. And so we wind up not meeting that day, but meeting the next day. I thought that was so commendable. I just thought that she was so full of compassion for not only her staff or the ship crew, but also the guests. I was just a guest. That's it. Nothing major, but just cruising. And so, of course, we took multiple pictures. And this is how I got to meet Captain Inger. So please help me welcome Captain Inger to the URU podcast. That's how it happened. That's my story. And I'm sticking with it. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You are so welcome. You are so welcome. Like I said, that day and this day, I'm still tickled pink over you and over meeting you, because what I didn't share is that I had, and I shared this with Captain Inger, you guys, but at that time, my husband and I, we had sailed on 80 different cruise ships. And this was our 81st cruise. And this was the first cruise I was on where there was a woman at the helm. I was so beside myself. So thank you so much. So, all right, let's jump in.
Yes.
Okay. I love starting at the beginning because people see the title captain, but they don't always see the path. The path that you were on, you started very young and worked your way up through the ranks. What was it like stepping into leadership in such a male-dominated industry? And what early challenges did you face?
So I think, you know, it's quite predictable, really, to be honest, as you can imagine. It hasn't been a straightforward line, and it wasn't easy. I'd love to say, oh, it was a piece of cake, and it was just nice, and nothing happened, just a straight line, but that's not how it was.
And that's not the truth.
I think we don't get around it, that it is always very difficult to move into such a male-dominated world, being a female, where everybody looks at you and thinking, what is she doing here? Kind of thing, no? And I think you just have to work so hard sometimes to prove yourself and just to kind of be a part of it. And still, even though you work really hard, it is still very hard to be accepted in a society like that and within such a male-dominated world. Luckily, I would say the majority, there's no issues. It's straightforward. It's really nice. There's a genuine respect and for each other. But there will always be some and few. And, you know, as they say, empty drums always make the most noise, no?
Yeah.
Yes. So those are the ones who make life challenging, made life difficult at times. But also, I think, at times where you thought, oh, no, I don't want to do this anymore. This is enough now.
Right.
But I think we all get to the point. But then the better of me luckily took over and said, why would you let anybody let you, you know, knock you down on this? Not in a lifetime. Yeah. I haven't come this far to let anyone just destroy me, because I need to believe in me. I know that I can do this, and I am stronger than this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow. That must have required so much strength and resilience. At, you know, really, and starting at a young age. So thank you for that. I want to talk about doubt, right? Mm-hmm. Both external and internal.
Yeah.
Have there been moments where people doubted your ability? I know to lead, your ability to lead, and I know you mentioned it just a while ago. They doubted your ability to lead. Where people question you, and how did you handle those situations without letting that doubt define you, right? They doubt your ability to lead. Yes, go, please.
Yes, there has been quite a few times. I think it's more of there's a challenge in it, in saying many excuses are being used. If you know what I mean. It's not like one particular thing where they say, oh, you know, you weren't really good at this. There's never been anything defined. If you know, there was never anything really black and white saying this and this and this, we're not happy with this. No. It was almost like, well, you know, and then like a story around it, which wasn't really, you know, nothing really where you think, what is this?
Right.
And obviously, as you also mentioned, you start to doubt it, and you think, why am I not, is it me, or haven't I done it well enough, or why are they coming after me? Yeah. But then I think with friends and having my husband and you know, very good friends, only a few which I talk to, yeah, we discussed this, and I said, you know, why And I think it's just to let it out, let it off your chest, say what you think, yes, and be honest about it, and say, listen, they make me feel like this. This is what I feel like right now. I'm doubting that, you know, why is this happening to me? What's going on? And people were really good at, my friends and my husband, to say, don't lose the trust in you, and don't lose the belief in you. It's not you. Try to look at it from a different angle,
yeah,
and say, what could be their problem? And then ultimately, on every single time, I think I came out with a view saying, okay, I wonder if they're intimidated by me.
Come on, talk it.
Yes. Is that what it is? Mm. Are they kind of feeling inadequate because they want something that I'm doing, or
come on,
is it big? Yeah, basically where it was. So I've chosen to say, no. If I don't doubt myself before, why should I do just because someone says something?
Yes.
I know I'm doing a good job. I know I can do my job well enough. And I know that I'm doing a great job.
Awesome.
So I need to look at it and say, it's their shortcomings. There's something that they are battling with or struggling with that makes them take it out on me.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Wow. See, thank you so much for that, because I know, I think there are so many women who internalize doubt.
Yes.
And they start questioning themselves instead of, like you did, the environment, the person, right? And I'm so glad you had that support system where you can bounce off the, you know, say what you feel and not feel judged in that space. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah, because I think women in particular, we are so good at running ourselves down.
Yes.
We are so good of blaming ourselves. So the minute we get somebody says something, the first thought that goes into our heads is, oh my God, what did I do wrong?
Yeah.
We need to get over that. We need to turn it the other way and say, hey, listen, I'm doing well enough. Mm-hmm. What makes you do this?
Yeah.
You obviously have an issue, not me.
Exactly.
So we need to be better at this, because then there are no limits. to what we can achieve.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much. And I believe that. And thank you. That is so powerful as well. And empowering. And empowering. So let me ask, as a ship captain, you make decisions that impact hundreds. Oh no, actually thousands of people, because I was on that ship. And I think that's real pressure, right? So how do you stay calm, confident?
So I think, first of all, I think it's the experience, but then it's also the training throughout, which makes you, you know, being capable of being there and doing this without, you know, panicking every time.
Okay. So you.
And I think. Go ahead. Yeah, I think over the years I've also learned, you know, from various things that have happened or anything, is always to observe what happens with people when something happens. Mm-hmm. Look at the behavior, look at the reaction and all these kinds of things. And then by observing, I think over many years, I thought, okay, I will never do like that, because that, if I look at that, that makes me feel uncomfortable. And that's, I can't let anybody feel uncomfortable.
Okay.
If I make a decision.
Right.
But it's also about being and believing in that what you're doing is the right thing.
Yes.
And being so convinced about it. And if you believe, okay, this is the decision I have to make, so how do I do it the best? And how do I actually formulate this one and tell people about it?
Yes.
Being, you know, having that confidence in it, but also reassuring that, you know, I know what I'm doing. And then reassure people that this is the right decision.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
That level of clarity and composure is such a powerful leadership lesson for all of us. So thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you. I'm holding on to some of what you just said. So one thing I love about modern leadership is balancing authority with empathy.
Yes.
How do you personally build trust and respect with your crew while still leading with compassion and care?
I think the important thing for me is never ever forget where you came from.
Oh, yes.
You know, I worked my way up. I didn't just fly in from above in anything. Do you know what I mean? I worked my way up. I have worked as a stewardess on the ship. I have done all these things, and I never ever, you know, if you appreciate every single job that is it within your thing.
Yeah.
So if I walk around and I see the guys wash the floor, I'm always saying, guys, that's excellent job. What would the ship do without you?
Yes.
Ask them about their families, you know, say, how's your family? How's everybody at home all right? Are you feeling okay? All these things. It's about coming to a personal level with each and every person. Mm-hmm. Because that, for me, is the ultimate thing to do it. Because I create a connection with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Showing that I trust them and I appreciate them. And when you do that, whatever you send out to the universe, you get back.
You get it back. Awesome.
Yes.
Yes. No, I appreciate that, because I was a witness of your passion. And I say witness, but I actually experienced it, you know. And when you said what you said to me about, oh, go to the purser's desk, and I did it, and you showed, I was like, oh my goodness. So I truly am I don't want to say witness, but I experienced your compassion and your concern, not only for your crew members, but also for the guests that sail along with you. So let's talk about mindset. What mindset shift helped you to move from proving yourself to simply owning who you are and your space as a leader, right? So there was a time you're in that, right? So please share.
I think it was a particular challenging time where there was a lot of questioning and a lot of background noise.
Mm-hmm. I call it head chatter, Captain Inger. I call it head chatter, and like you said, background noise, but go ahead.
Yes. Where there were all these kinds of doubts and things talking and rumors and stuff like that. And I was like, well, this all this. And then I think I reached a point where I thought, you know, I was just on the edge of saying, okay, you know something, I'm gonna leave. I can't do this anymore.
I got you. I'm done.
Yeah.
The wrap.
But then I thought, you know, so many years of so hard work, why should I let this define me and be my legacy as I leave? I deserve better than that. And I thought, you know something? I am who I am. I'm me. Take it or leave it. But, you know, you are not going to shake me out of my space. I'm just going to throttle on and do what I do. I'm not going to, you know, fall for all this. If you don't like it, come, you know, would you want to do fire me?
Right.
You know.
Right.
Because okay. I think at the end of the day, you know, it's easy to say, you know, I know that people are depending on, you know, getting their income, all these kinds of things. It's not always easy to do that. But you can do it in your head.
Yeah.
You know, you can say these things in your head. You can say, what are they going to do? Fire me? They have nothing to fire me on.
Right.
So, hey, come and prove something.
Right.
You know, all these kinds of things. And it's just about to get it rolling in your head. Think about it. Think about it. What is fair on me?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think, and that made me really think, okay, you know, I'm done with all this. I'm done with all that
right.
intimidation, gossip, oh, all these things. Life is too short for this.
Exactly.
I need to do this my way.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go.
And that's it. So for women, and I appreciate that. So for women listening who feel overlooked or underestimated, what practical habits or leadership practices would you recommend they start implementing right now, today?
Every morning when you wake up, you look at yourself and say, this is me and this is the best of me. Yeah?
Yes.
And I am going to go out and do the best that I can to every ability that I have. And when I'm done, I will still look myself in the mirror and say, I did everything I could. The best of me went into all that. And I did it with all my heart. And I believe in me.
Yeah. Oh, that is.
And that's it.
That's juicy. That is so juicy. Like it's just falling like down my face and on my shirt. Thank you so much. Okay. So before we wrap up, Captain Inger, I want to ask you something our listeners really need to hear. What's the most important piece of advice you would give to a woman who knows she's capable of leading, but still, she still feels like the world doesn't fully believe in her yet?
You know, it all comes from within.
Mm.
Believe in you. Believe in yourself. Because it's about, I believe I can do it. I just got to find a way to show everyone. When you believe in it, it'll come automatically that it shows you how to prove it and how you get it. So take every small opportunity as you see. Be observant and say, oh, there I can step in, and always volunteer when there are tasks and all these things. Just say, I'll do it. Be the first one. Step forward. Show your independence. Show your, you know, all the maturity and every, you know, that you believe in you. And your self-discipline, and just say, yeah, I'm volunteering. I can do it. No worries. And if you keep on going, people will then, because then you are so visible that it'll be really hard to get around you, really, to be honest.
Oh, yes. I love it.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So our listeners would love to connect with you. I just want to put a little plug in there for Cunard. So she's the captain of a Cunard ship. So if you want to meet her in person, book a cruise on Cunard, but you got to find out where she's at. Nevertheless, so here, please share, Captain Inger, how would our listeners, if they want to connect with you online or whatever, how would they be able to connect with you? Please share.
So I'm on LinkedIn. I also have Facebook.
Yes.
And I also have Instagram.
Okay. Now, is it Inger Klein Thorhagen? Like,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
that's what they need to find. Okay, so
yes.
So when we publish the episode, we also do a blog, and so all of the information will be there as well.
Yeah.
Full names.
Yeah.
They can find you on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Yes.
Perfect. 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 Thank you again and again for being here. Thank you so much. I truly appreciate your compassion to serve, especially serve your guests like me. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to meet with me on the ship and to meet with me now. I'm truly grateful, and I will definitely, I promise, keep in touch with you. You will see
Please.
Me in person, I promise, on one of those Cunard ships. That's a promise.
Thank you. I really look forward to it. And it's been a great pleasure meeting you.
Likewise, my friend. And so until then, bye-bye for now. Oh, my goodness. What a powerful conversation. I know it moved you because I was so moved. Thank you again and again, Captain Inga. We truly appreciate you. Okay, let's recap. How do you lead? Decide, right? And when, as a woman, when the world doubts you. That's what this is all about, right? So, leadership is built through experience, not permission, because you don't need permission. Doubt doesn't mean you're unqualified. I said it before, it means you're growing. That's what it means. Calm decisions come from preparation and self-trust. Mm-hmm. Empathy strengthens authority. Oh no, I need to say that again. Empathy strengthens authority. And you don't have to shrink to lead. Don't get that twisted either. Because you already belong in the room. You already belong in the room. So, of course, we cannot end this episode without providing action steps for our listeners. That's what we do. So here goes. Here's what I want you to do this week. One, I want you to speak up once where you normally stay quiet. Two, make a decision confidently without over-explaining, because you don't have to explain. Number three, remind yourself daily, I do not need permission to lead. I don't, because leadership isn't something you wait for. It's something you step into. And I want you to step proudly and boldly into it. That's what I'm talking about. So, with society's expectations and endless opinions, it is so, 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 so easy to second guess yourself. It is easy to doubt your leadership abilities. But allow me to remind you that you were never created to play small, because you are you unapologetically. And that means when you show up with clarity and conviction, the world will adjust to you. So lead boldly, decide confidently, and trust yourself completely. That's it. That's it. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you again, Captain Inga. We truly appreciate you for sharing your wisdom today. It was so juicy. Yes. And to everyone listening, do I need to say, if this episode inspired you, share it with a woman stepping into her leadership. Yes. And keep rising, keep trusting, and keep being you unapologetically. Ciao, ciao for now.